Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 3. Hallelujah. May be corny, but everybody say, no fear here. Even if it's corny, you can do some damage with a corn cob. Know how to use it. John 3, verses 16 and 17. Let's read them together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been talking about going back to basics. I know I said we were going to start talking about the basic obedience, but God has a little more he wants to say about love and forgiveness. I hope that's all right with you, because that's what I have to do, because that's what he said. Okay. But one thing that we need to understand about basics, when we say go back to basics, in order to do that, you have to know what they are. And you have to know how to use them and how they apply and why they're important. You need to develop that understanding. I shared with you a very simple illustration about the late John Wooden. When he conducted his first couple of days of basketball practice, every single year that he coached, he spent the first couple of days teaching his players how to properly put on their socks and their sneakers. And you're like, they should know how to do that. Well, they didn't. And his players, they didn't get sprained ankles. None of them had blisters. Because he said, if you don't put your socks on properly, you can get blisters on your feet. And if you get blisters on your feet, you have to come out of the game. And he said, if you're an impact player and you come out of the game and we lose enough, I need another job. All right? And he said, you have to learn how to lace your sneakers on properly, because you don't need to go down the court on a fast break and your sneaker comes off. It could be a critical time. And we raise your hand if you know when the critical times in your life are going to show up. Okay. We don't know. So if we don't have the basics in place, when these critical times come, we're going to be in trouble, because that's not the time to figure it out. You need to have these basics drilled into you, that they don't become second nature, they become your nature. That's the way we need to do to do it. So I gave each of you a card. You should have gotten a white card when you come in. Please don't put your name on it. I don't know if I'm going to collect them or not. Because we talked about faith and love and forgiveness. And, you know, they're the basic basics. But what I'd like for you to do, don't write your name on the card. I know we get a card, first thing we do is we write our name on it. Okay? All right? It is a school of the Bible, but you're not in a class. Not okay? So to speak. Now, I want you to write down on the card, write down the most despicable thing or things that you've done to yourself, to someone else, whatever it is or they are. Want you take a moment and write them down. You know, if you need to turn the card over, you can. If you need another card, it's okay. All right? All right? You don't have to write in code. No one's going to look at you and judge. They're not going to say, look at them, they're still writing. Okay? None of that's going to happen. You just be honest with you. It's good we can laugh about them now, isn't it? I promise it's not going to hurt, folks. We're not setting you up for anything. Well, actually, we're setting you up for some revelation, but it's not going to hurt. Because there's a principle. How many of you would like to know a principle that would help you love and forgive? Would that be a value to you? Okay. And we're not gonna take a long time to do this. So, I mean, have you written you've written down, or you still need more time? It's okay. If you need more time, take it. Just write it down. Because we're going to get this thing right. This is going to be a place. Or I should say it's not only going to be a place, it's going to be the place where the love of God is evident. Because everybody that comes in here, that's a member here, is going to be filled to the brim with the love of God. Okay, if you still need to keep writing, keep writing. I'm not scanning the room to see who you are, so don't feel bad about it. Just do what you need to do. And turn to Luke 7. I'm going to share a few verses in the Amplified Bible. And again in the Message. Say the same thing, just say it a little differently. I'm going to start reading at verse 36. Okay. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to dine with him. He went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the town, who was an especially wicked sinner, I'm in the Amplified. Who was this woman? An especially wicked sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at the table, referring to Jesus, in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment, perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with the hair on her head and kissed his feet affectionately and anointed them with the ointment perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would surely know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast, devoted to sin. And I'm wondering, then why'd you let her in your house? I'm reading this. You've invited Jesus. And you let this person who did not knock and said, just walked in and walked right up to your guest. Here, wholesale, you better stop the folks when they come in. But he said, she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast, devoted to sin. And the second thought I had, well, if she's devoted to sin, why did she come up to Jesus and start washing his feet, kissing his feet? And Jesus replying to him, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, teacher, say it. And again, I'm thinking, a minute ago you're saying, if he were, and now you're saying, teacher. Right? Can't help it, that's the way I think. Right? A certain lender of money at interest had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. When they had no means of paying, he freely forgave them both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one I take it for whom he forgave and canceled more. And Jesus said, you have decided correctly. Then turning toward the woman, but still speaking to Simon, the Pharisee, but he's looking at the woman. He said, Simon, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, from the moment I came in, has not ceased intermittently to kiss my feet tenderly and caressingly. You did not anoint my head with cheap ordinary oil, but she has anointed my feet with costly rare perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, many as they are forgiven her because she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this? Who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go enter into peace and freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin." Message Bible. One of the Pharisees asked him over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Just then, a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried her feet, kissed them, and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is who's falling all over him." See, Simon had what's called a preconceived notion as to what this woman was. Anybody ever have a preconceived notion about somebody? Okay. What do you base that on? Say it again. Appearances, what you see, what you've heard. Okay. And you take all of that in. Do we really take the time to find out ourselves just how the person is? No. And sometimes, because of our preconceived notion, we never find out. Because we just keep them at a distance, and then we do something else that we don't realize. Then we start talking about them to other folks. "Child, you know when I went over so-and-so, do you know who had the nerve to walk in here? She come busting up in here like she's somebody, or he's something." We just ignored them. We just act like that. I don't even know if they stayed there or not. "What are you doing tomorrow?" "I'm going to church." "You know we got to go and praise the Lord." Okay. But he had a preconceived notion based on what he saw or what he heard. Jesus said, "Simon, I have something to tell you." Thank you. He said, "I have something to tell you." He said, "Oh, tell me." "Two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker canceled both debts. Which of the two should be more grateful?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who was forgiven the most." "That's right," said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, "Do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting. But from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume." Impressive, isn't it? "She was forgiven many, many sins, so she is very, very grateful." If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. Look at your cards. Everything you wrote on that card, God has forgiven. Everything you wrote, God has forgiven. And let's go one step further. How many of you know what sins you're going to commit tomorrow? What about 2 weeks from next Thursday? Next year? Guess what? Jesus already died for them too. So you have been forgiven of much. And because you have been forgiven of much, you should love much. We should be the world's greatest lovers because of what we have been, how we have been forgiven. Jesus said, if you're forgiven minimally, your love is going to be minimal. But we've been forgiven much. So our love should be much. There should be great demonstrations of our love because God has forgiven us. of just so much. I mean, this woman, she knew she was a sinner. But what we don't know is why. See, we think people just, you know, came out of the womb and decided, I'm going to be a sinner. No, we don't know what has happened to people. We don't know what they've gone through. We don't know what someone has done to them that warped their thinking. We keep looking at their actions, what they do, and we forget the things we have written down on our card. We forget what we've done. But we can justify it because we know why we did it. And that should count for something, right? No. If it should count for something with us, it should count for something with them. If we expect to be given the benefit of the doubt because of what we've gone through, why aren't we willing to extend that same benefit of doubt? Because we don't know what the other person has gone through. But she heard Jesus was coming and faith kicked in. See, it was no different than like the woman with the issue of blood. She heard Jesus was coming. And she did something that was against the law. So you could say she was sinning. Because the law says you're supposed to separate yourself. And it was only talking about, you know, 7-8 days. But she had this thing going on for 12 years. And she still went out in public. And according to the law, anyone that touched her was considered unclean. Now, there was a press of people there. Oh, so when there's a press of people, you can't move anywhere without touching someone. So everybody that she encountered, according to the law, would have been unclean, including Jesus, because she touched him. But she knew that all she had to do was get to him, and her entire life would be changed for the better. This woman knew that she was going into a religious leader's home, being a prostitute. She knew it. But she went anyway, because all she needed to do was get a touch of Jesus, and she knew her life would be changed. She had this love based on what she believed Jesus could do for her. And so she was willing to take a chance and go and minister to him and ignore everybody else, didn't concern herself with anybody else, focused right on him, washed his feet with her tears. Can you imagine how much someone has to cry to wash your feet with tears? I don't think I've cried that much in my life to wash somebody's feet. But that's how deeply she loved. That's how deeply she wanted to be free. Because she had much that she needed to be forgiven of. So she gave much. She gave much. But think about it. She heard Jesus was coming, which means she had to know something about this Jesus that made her feel that she had to get there and her life would change. What do people know about us? Are they thinking that way about us? If I can just get over to Janie, everything would be fine. Everything would be fine. That's all I have to do. Just make it to Ken. Everybody will be fine. I don't care what I have to go through. If I get to Archie, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Because they know that Janie and Ken and Archie, I'm not saying them only, but just using as an example, they'll love me. They won't judge me. They'll just love me. And that love will be liberating. And it will cause repentance to come. And followed by the repentance will be even more love. And then if anyone does anything to you because you've given out so much love and been forgiven of so much, you just automatically forgive. Why? Because you have been loved. You've been forgiven of much. The principle is if you've been forgiven much, you can love much. Love much. I mean, Jesus said to him, you haven't given me anything. Yeah, you invited me to dinner, but no greeting. Can you imagine? I mean, if anybody ever invites someone to their home and the person comes over and you don't even say hi? Come in, welcome. Glad you're here. You gave me no greeting. Didn't give me anything to refresh myself. See, the person comes in, you know, and especially if they're late, and they had car trouble, or the air conditioning went out, and they come in, they're soaking wet, and you just come in, open the door, okay, hi, you're here, all right, good. You sit down. So it's like a towel to dry your face, like a cool drink. Nothing. Nothing. Said, but this woman, this notorious sinner, showed love to me. Why? She knew I would not judge her. What do people know about us? See, I used to be of the opinion that I didn't care what other people thought about me. Well, that's changed. I do care. I don't want anyone to think ill of me. That affects our witness. We need to be mindful of that. It can't be enough that we know what we intended. No, how are we coming across to others? In that account, you see how love and forgiveness and faith work hand in hand. She had to believe that she would be received by Jesus. She had to believe that she was going to receive the same type of love that his reputation says he doled out. And just on that, she developed a love for him. Just based on what she's heard. And she just knew, all I have to do is get there and everything in my raggedy life is going to straighten right out. Straighten right out. Look at your cards again. How great was forgiveness extended to you? Based on what you know you've done. How great? Romans 5. And believe it or not, I'm almost done. Romans 5. This is in the Phillips translation. And I believe I'm at, I think it's verse 1 I'm starting. Since then it's by faith that we are justified, let us grasp the fact that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have confidently entered into this new relationship of grace. And here we take our stand in happy certainty of the glorious things he has for us in the future. This doesn't mean, of course, that we have only a hope of future joys. We can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and tribulations. Even when someone has done you wrong, you can be full of joy here and now. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us patience, endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character, and a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. See, but the key is it says, taken in the right spirit. That's we have to understand. When folks do things to us, we have to make sure we're in the right spirit. Because if we're in the wrong spirit, mature love is not what's going to come out. But something else will. That won't produce joy for us or the other party. Already we have some experience of the love of God flooding through our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. And we can see that it was while we were powerless to help ourselves that Christ died for sinful men. In human experience, it's a rare thing for one man to give his life for another. Even if the latter be a good man, though there have been a few who had the courage to do it. Listen to this. Yet the proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He knew, look at your cards, he knew you were going to do everything that you've written down on your cards, and then some. Yet he died for you anyway. He knew some were going to reject him totally. He died for them anyway. He didn't give Father a list. I mean, that's, before I knew any better, that's what I would have done. I'd have given him a list. These are the people I'm dying for. What about the rest of them? To hell with them. I mean, that's what I mean. These are the ones. They deserve my blood. Not the rest. No, Jesus didn't do that. He died once for everybody. Used some of his last breath to say, Father, forgive them. We've been forgiven much, folks. The Jubilee Bible 2000 says, but God, to this one, God increased the price of his charity toward us, that while we were yet sinners, the Christ died for us. God said, I'm even paying more because I love them and I've forgiven them. And because I've forgiven them, they can love others because they've already experienced how it feels to be forgiven. I mean, is anybody here doesn't like feeling forgiven? You do something, you know it's wrong, and the person says, I forgive you, and they embrace you, man, you feel like you can buy and sell Bill Gates 10 times over. Because you're just so exhilarating. But if you have 15 people and 14 will forgive you and one person won't, that one person that didn't forgive you will hang on you. I wonder, why won't they forgive me? And you start feeling badly. But then we'll turn around and we won't forgive others. Why? Because they need to feel as bad as they made me feel? I mean, that was an attitude I used to have. The key is used to. I'll tell you something else about the thing, whatever you wrote down on your cards. And only you know this. Were they all before Christ? So some of us did some things even after we knew. And God didn't say, I'm not forgiving you. You should have known better. He forgave us anyway, even though we knew, we've been taught. We have been forgiven of much, repeatedly. Well, I should say, you could say repeatedly, because he forgave once for all. But for us, it's like, I do this, he forgives me. I do that, he forgives me. So if you do this or that to me, guess what? I'm forgiving you. I'm forgiving you. Because, see, I love God. And because I love God, I love Jesus Christ. And because I love God and love Jesus Christ, I love you also. Why? Because he told me to. And he said, if I love him, I'll do what he says. Well, he told me to love you the same way he loves me. Did he tell that to any of you? I'm not the only one. So that means, and so he loves all of us the same. And he expects all of us to love each other the same way he loves us. And he always forgives us because he loves us. So what should we do with each other? Because we love them. Folks, that's basic. That's basic church. Church 101. You love, you forgive. You walk by faith, not by sight. Those are basics. We're the church. We're founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we really believe that, if we really believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we would do everything he said. So we have to ask ourselves a question. No matter what we're going through, do I believe Jesus is the Christ? Yes, I need to adjust my attitude. Do I believe Jesus is the Christ? Yes, I can't say that. Do I believe Jesus is the Christ? Yes, I can't go into that place. Do I believe Jesus is the Christ? Yes, I got to change the channel. Because all those other things, I am finding out that they're pollutants. And you'll find yourselves repeating things that you see on television. And you hear over and over and over. It's a marketing technique. When we had our first summer camp at the Village, we were having a session with the children. And one of them said to me, I remember who it was, but I'm not going to tell you his name. But he said, Mr. Carr, he said, we feel we get a bad rap. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, adults always think that we're influenced by everything. I said, like what? He said, like television. They think just because we see things on television that it's going to affect our thinking. He said, and that's wrong. I said, I can understand how you feel. I said, but can we fast forward this, let's say, how old are you? He told me, well, let's fast forward this 15 years. I said, now you want to buy an automobile, and you go and buy one. But in order to get plates, you have to have insurance. I couldn't even finish it. So where would you go? Geico! I said, why'd you say that? Like, come on. 15 minutes and you could. I said, really? Where'd you hear that? I said, all the commercials. I said, but don't worry about it. Television doesn't affect you. But see, that's what it does. See, the television programs, at least some of the ones that I've seen that are coming out there now, I mean, just by their name, I wouldn't watch it. And I'm on, I'll be scanning on social media and I'll see folks saying, gotta go, scandal's coming on. Really? Scandal? My niece and I had about an hour back and forth messaging because there was this program, this nurse program. Will Smith's wife was in it. Hawthorne. I watched it. When I first watched the first episode, I said, oh, this is pretty good. Something we can watch. No, then I found out she was having an affair with one of the doctors, and her daughter was having an affair. I'm like, I'm not watching this. And my niece asked me about it, and I said to her, she said, yeah, but they're getting married. I said, getting married is not being married. Okay. I said, well, you can't judge. I said, no, but you can judge what's right and what's wrong. And having sex outside of marriage is wrong according to God. So I'm not going to watch that and say, oh, they look good. No, I'm not going to do that. But it's designed to change our thinking, to make us think that all these things are okay. And that there are programs out there that make you think getting revenge is okay. Unforgiveness is okay. Separating folks from your group is okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. God said, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, the love of God to everybody. He didn't say go to them and tell them they're going to hell. He didn't say go preach fire and brimstone. He didn't say tell them how bad they are and how terrible they're doing to their neighborhoods. He said, go preach the gospel. He said, go be ministers of reconciliation. Can you imagine Pastor and I going someplace, we're ministers of reconciliation, and we're arguing with each other. We're arguing with each other. Why? Who knows? No, we find a way to stay on one accord. We find a way to get along, genuinely, because we're working together for Him. That's what we're doing. We're not working for us. We're working for Him. You're not working for you. You're working for Him. You're representing Him. Everything that we do reflects on who God is. We have to understand that. When we're talking to people, they shouldn't see us. They should see the love of God. Period. Remember, this woman heard Jesus was coming and made it her business to get there because she knew about Him. People need to hear the same thing about us. Yeah, I know it's all the way up in Nanuet, but I'm telling you, when you walk through the doors, the people that are there, they'll love you like you've never been loved before. And it won't matter to them how you look, how you smell, how you sound. It won't matter because they are just going to love you.